Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. My name is Jeff Johnson. I am your host. Guys, this is a big, big week. I've been looking forward to this for a while. I know some of you guys have too. AEW Dynamite is back live this week. You know, we've had some recorded episodes the last few weeks, kind of a rehash of some of the same wrestlers. Tony Khan was actually on Chris Jericho's podcast this week. I'm sorry, no, he was on the AEW Unrestricted podcast this week, talking about the recordings and everything and how he was, you know, so indebted to the wrestlers that were there and everybody that did their part. And he's glad that everything's going back live again and that they're getting a lot of their roster back this week. So this is going to be a big show. There's a couple of things announced for the show. We're getting Cody versus Joey Janela. We got the return of MJF coming back from his serious injuries that he told us about the last couple of weeks. We got the return of the AEW champion, Jon Moxley, taking on Frankie Kazarian of SCU. And at our main event, we're getting the La Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara, taking on Broken Matt Hardy and Kenny Omega. In a street fight, nonetheless. So that match is going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to that. And also just announced is QT Marshall being a sacrificial lamb for Lance Archer, who is going to be accompanied by Jake the Snake Roberts. So good to see Jake the Snake back this week, too. So this is going to be an awesome episode, guys. I'm really looking forward to it. Being back live kind of just brings a different atmosphere to the show. Unfortunately, still no fans yet. But the way things are going, hopefully that's going to be something that's changing here very shortly. So, this is a step in the right direction with everything going live. And this is going to be a good one. I'm definitely expecting AEW to put on a great show this week. Before we get started, guys, make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all of your podcasting platforms, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you guys get your podcasts, make sure you guys subscribe. Everybody on the show does an awesome job, puts out some great content all week long. The Raw and SmackDown reviews, the NXT reviews, everything from top to bottom, wrestling nostalgia, anything you guys need for your wrestling podcast, you guys can find on the WWE Podcast. So make sure you guys subscribe. And for you guys on that listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a 5-star review. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us what you enjoy and, you know, the way some people are, some things you don't enjoy, because we've seen a couple of those lately too. But hey, you know, make your voices be heard, and any 5-star review you guys give us, it helps the podcast out. It helps us grow. So make sure you guys do that for us. And with that being said, without further ado, let's get into this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. Dynamite starts this week with the return of Jim Ross and Excalibur joining Tony Schiavone on commentary, giving us a rundown of everything that's going to be going on tonight, including everything we talked about earlier and the return of the AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose. They give a, you know, kind of a little backstory of everything going on the last couple of weeks, and they say that the opening match tonight is going to be Cody taking on Joey Janela. We got a bunch of pyro going off, and they're bringing it all tonight. A bunch of superstars, I guess you call them superstars in AEW, but I know it's a WWE term, but we'll say wrestlers. A bunch of wrestlers in the crowd on both sides, you know, cheering, being loud. They're outdoors in Jacksonville this week, so definitely a different view and a different feel than what we had the last couple of weeks. Joey Janela comes out first, followed by Cody. And this is a really good, hot opening match, very back and forth. Joey Janela looks like that he hasn't missed a beat in his time off. He looked very, very good offensively. Selling looked good. And Cody gave up quite a bit in this match to Janela. Cody's got the big TNT Championship title match coming up at Double or Nothing against the Murderhawk Lance Archer. And, glad to see that Cody was kind of giving a little bit here, letting Janela get a little bit of the spotlight. Cody had his spots as well. Very, very good match. Very hard hitting back and forth, which, you know, most... most Joey Janela matches are. He likes to throw the physicality out there. In the end, Cody ends up getting the victory with the Crossroads. A lot of respect shown by both guys during this match. And, you know, very, very hot opening, very good opening to Dynamite. You know, we mentioned earlier about how it kind of has a different feel tonight. And what that feel is a little bit of normality, which I know that's what everybody's kind of wanting right now with the pandemic going on and things being so different over the last couple of months, is that normality is what everybody's kind of looking for. And that's what we got at the start of Dynamite this week. Yeah, you know, still no fans in the crowd, and hopefully that is something that's coming, but seeing the different wrestlers in the crowd being loud, being supportive, cheering on Janela and Cody, the pyro, the announcers, the original announce team, it's a good feeling. It's a real feel-good, you know, situation that, you know, really is going to make this show even better than it's been the last couple of weeks. There's been some good episodes of Dynamite lately. So, you know, definitely a great way to open the show. It feels real. It feels natural. It feels normal. And that's you know, the main thing that I can get over here. So, you know, make sure you guys, if you guys don't watch the entire episode, which there's going to be some good stuff tonight, I can tell you, but watch the first at least 10 minutes of the show for sure, because you're going to get that feeling of normality of you know, what's made AEW special so far. And it's a good feeling, and it kind of, you know, kind of makes it seem like we're heading in the right direction with everything in the world right now. So I know that's a little, you know, a little deeper things to talk about with the start of the review this week. But you know, I had to get it out there because it is really a cool feeling, and it's going to make Dynamite a pretty awesome show tonight. But with that being said, great opener between Cody, the American Nightmare Cody, and Joey Janela. Next up, we get a video package highlighting the history of Nyla Rose and a little bit on the history of the AEW Women's Championship as well. Nyla Rose has been very, very dominant her entire time in AEW, but especially since she won the AEW Women's Championship from Riho. And, you know, there really hasn't been anybody that's been able to stand up to her and even really put a dent in her and make it seem like they even have a chance of winning the women's title from her. You know, I really enjoy what they've been doing with Hikaru Shida over the last couple of weeks, booking her, making her look really strong. And it looks like, in my opinion, she's going to be the next person that's going to challenge Nyla Rose. But we do officially get the return of Nyla Rose to AEW Dynamite. She's taking on the debuting Kenzie Page. And, you know, we've seen a lot of squash matches over the last couple of weeks, and this was another one. This was Nyla Rose just being completely dominant. Real quick before the match started, Nyla was interviewed on the top of the ramp by Tony Schiavone, and Nyla just pretty much, you know, berated him, told him to go away. She doesn't want to talk to him. Go do his job while she goes in the ring and does hers, and that's pretty much the extent of it. But this was a complete domination from beginning to end for Nyla Rose. She hit a top rope senton that was very, very stiff, to put it lightly, and looked like she had landed kind of on the leg of Kenzie Page. Kenzie Page ended up holding her leg right after it happened. So I don't know if there was like a legit kind of injury, legit tweak there or something, but it looked a little rough. But the impact, I mean, the move itself looked really cool. Nyla Rose ended up hitting two power bombs on Kenzie and then picked her up and hit the Beast Bomb to get the victory. So complete domination, like I said, from Nyla Rose. And then after the match, she holds the title to the crowd, where one side has Chris Statlander and Hikaru Shida, and the other side has Britt Baker and Penelope Ford. So she's kind of waving the title around, telling them that they're not going to be able to get it. There's nothing they can do about it, stuff like that. So, you know, they're kind of playing it off as there's going to be multiple challengers, or where it's kind of unclear currently who the next challenger for her title is going to be. I still feel like it's going to be Hikaru Shida, because they spent so much time pushing her and giving her big victories, including the big win over Britt Baker that kind of solidified her as the number one contender. And Jim Ross said on commentary that, you know, Nyla Rose more than likely is going to be defending the title at Double or Nothing. So that's only in, what, 3 or 4 weeks away from now. So I expect it to be Hikaru Shida. Could possibly be a multi-person match, but I'd be kind of surprised they went that direction. They, like I said, they've been putting so much behind Shida, heading towards Double or Nothing. So I expect that to be the match, and it's going to be a good one. If I had to make a pick right now, I would say that Nyla Rose will retain, but they've done a great job of pushing Sheeta so hard to put her in that position as a reliable contender. So, you know, maybe my mind will change by the time we get to Dynamite. But Nyla Rose looked very impressive tonight. She looked great. She looked very fluent in her moves, and which is something that I've been talking about her for a while. And before she took her break during the pandemic, she was really starting to come into her own in her character in the ring. She's taking that next step, and she's becoming very, very believable and a great wrestler. So I was very impressed with her. I was impressed with her again tonight. So I like a lot. I like what the AEW Women's Champion is doing currently, and I'm excited to see where they go with her and who her next challenger is going to be. Up next, we get a pre-tape of MJF. He's sitting in a chair talking into the camera, and man, this promo was awesome. This was so good. MJF just kind of had me on the edge of my seat, just completely focused on what he was saying. And he was talking about how he's compared to The Rock and to Ric Flair and Roddy Piper, but everybody says that he's not quite there yet. He's not quite them. And, you know, he was saying that that's a good thing because, you know, he's going to be better than them. He's going to be a legend. He's going to be MJF. And how at 24 years old, everybody calls him a quote unquote kid, and that the kid is taking everybody's spots. But he says that he's a 24-year-old man. He has it. He has more it in his pinky than other people have in their entire body. And of course, on this pinky is the Dynamite diamond ring that he kisses. And this is just a great, great promo by MJF. I really like this one a lot. He's on fire. He's on fire. His promos, his mannerisms are just oozing as one of the best heels in the company, in the world even. And, you know, everybody says this about him, and it's almost cliche at this point, that how good he is at only 24 years old, how he's taken to the business so well, and that his future is so bright in any capacity that he wants to do. So, and I really feel like that is the case. And it's one of those guys you love to hate. I mean, you respect him because of how good he is, but you see him in the ring and you want to see him get his butt kicked. And that's, you know, that's what you pay to watch when it comes to him. He is in the building during this show. They showed him in the crowd standing next to Sean Spears during the previous match, but they did say he's not going to be competing until next week. So we will have MJF back in the ring starting next week, and they didn't say who his opponent was going to be, but it's going to be good to see him, you know, competing in the ring again. MJF is a very polarizing character. He's got, you know, he says that he gets the comparisons to The Rock and to Ric Flair and Roddy Piper. And, you know, I do see aspects of all three of those guys in him. Is he those guys yet? No, you know, he's not. And, you know, these are guys that are revolutionary in the business. And MJF has that it factor, like he said in his promo, to maybe be one of those guys one day, to, you know, be a polarizing enough figure to change the business, to bring a different aspect to the business like those three gentlemen did in their careers. But that's a long way to go. I'm not going to sit here, you know, and say that MJF is The Rock, is Ric Flair, is Roddy Piper, because that's just, it's not the case yet. He's got a long way to go to get there, but hey, he's ahead of the curve for sure. So 10, 15 years from now, we'll see where he's at. Let's see what he does. But if he keeps on the same pace he's going on now, he's going to go down as one of the best heels of all time. I guarantee it. Next up, we have a video package from Sean Spears talking about what happened to Dustin Rhodes last week in his match against Lance Archer in the semifinals of the TNT Championship Tournament. This was really well done, and Sean Spears looks like he conducted this from his bathroom floor or something kind of like that. It was a little odd, but he said, was talking about putting the blame not on Dustin for taking the match last week and not even on Lance Archer for the physicality that he put on Dustin during and after the match, but he actually put the blame on Cody, saying that Cody's a horrible brother. And that Sean Spears is a brother, an older brother to his brother, who's 11 years younger than him. And he said that he would always protect him no matter what, especially during physical altercations and things, you know, situations that he could not take care of himself. He was always there for him. But Cody was not there for his brother. He showed up and should have thrown the towel in, but he didn't, because he secretly wants to carry on the the Rhodes family legacy and you know, represent the family against Lance Archer, to be the Rhodes brother that takes down the Murder Hawk and stuff, and you know, things like that is what he was saying. It was very, very well done. And kind of get you thinking a little bit. It's like, well, in a way, he kind of right, you know, kind of agree with some of the things that he's saying. That's the mark of a good heel too. You know, when you tell the truth, but people don't believe you and they don't want to listen. And, you know, we've seen guys like Chris Jericho do that for years. You know, he did it in WWE. He did it in AEW. And Sean Spears was very similar, you know, here too, with the things that he was saying, where he's probably telling the truth. And he's, you know, saying a lot of things that certain people probably think, but with him being a heel and Cody being arguably the top babyface in the company, you know, people are going to take Cody's side. But it was very well done. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, they're going to be keeping this feud between Sean Spears and Cody going. So, depending on what happens at Double or Nothing between Cody and Lance Archer, I feel like Sean Spears is going to be involved somehow, some way. And, you know, that's a feud that's going to continue afterwards. Not saying that, you know, Lance Archer is guaranteed to win the TNT Championship. I just think that Sean Spears is going to end up playing a part in that match when it does happen. So very, very good video. Back in the arena, we get an interview with MJF ringside, and Sean Spears was there as well, actually. Just kind of a typical basic promo by MJF here. He and Sean Spears were talking to each other and kind of hyping each other up and stuff like that. And MJF said that a real wrestler will be back next week, talking about himself. And Tony Schiavone actually broke a little bit of news and informed MJF that Tony Khan told him in his ear that MJF will be performing, or MJF will be wrestling at Double or Nothing against Jungle Boy. So that's going to be a really good match. We've seen these two work together before, and it was very, very good. So I expect this one to be a great one as well. So yeah, a little bit of big news, a big match being booked for Double or Nothing between these two guys. I like it. Back in the arena, we get Frankie Kazarian representing SCU taking on the AEW World Champion, the returning Jon Moxley. And this match was a lot of fun, very back and forth, also hard hitting, kind of like the match we saw earlier in the night. Two veterans going out there, just, you know, putting on a show, putting on a wrestling clinic. A lot of chain wrestling in this match, which is not surprising with Kazarian, but we don't see a whole lot of chain wrestling when it comes to Moxley very often. But I was very, very impressed with him and impressed with both guys. This match went about 15, 20 minutes or so. It was pretty back and forth for the most part. And in the end, Jon Moxley gets the victory with the paradigm shift. Jon Moxley successfully comes back and gets a victory. But the big story is what happened after the match. Kazarian rolls out of the ring, and all of a sudden, seven of the masked members of the Dark Order show up and attack Jon Moxley. As this is going on, Christopher Daniels and Scorpio Sky come out to try to help out. They get beaten down as well. And eventually, the Exalted One, Brody Lee, comes out. He gets in the ring, grabs a mic, and is pretty much telling Jon Moxley, you know, thank you for putting the bounty on your head last week during your promo, you said, and that he has something that he wants. And Brody Lee looks over at the AEW World title and says that Moxley has the crown jewel of professional wrestling, and Brody Lee's not the same man that he's looked eye to eye with back in the past, talking about when Moxley was Dean Ambrose in The Shield and Brody Lee was Luke Harper in the Wyatt family. So kind of a nice little throwback there between both the guys. But, you know, Brody Lee issued a challenge and said he wants the AEW championship, and he wanted Moxley to make his decision right there as Moxley's laying there in the middle of the ring. Moxley reaches over and grabs the mic and pretty much laughs and says, all you had to do was ask. And as soon as he says that, Brody Lee charges in and kicks him right in the face. After that happened, Brody Lee looks over to his minions and orders them to attack Moxley again as he leaves the ring. What I didn't mention is that when Brody Lee is up on the stage, Christopher Daniels is laid out right next to him. Well, when Brody Lee came out, he came out with a chair and hit Christopher Daniels right in the head with the chair at the top of the ramp. It was a pretty brutal shot. It was really quick, so it was kind of hard to see exactly what it was, but I could tell it was a pretty devastating shot. I don't think Christopher Daniels got his hands up, so it was a pretty pretty fresh shot, you know, for lack of a better term there. So Daniel Daniels was laid out at the top. One of the minions ends up grabbing the AEW title, brings it over to Brody Lee, and Brody Lee looks at it as they go to commercial. So looks like that's what our next feud is going to be. That's what's going to be Moxley's next challenger for the AEW World Championship is going to be the Exalted One, Brody Lee. And this is really, really interesting for me because Brody Lee's got the Dark Order behind him. We still have not seen Evil Uno and Stu Grayson yet, which are just going to make that team even stronger. So you could talk about how Brody Lee's got all of this backup behind him. He's been in squash matches every week, looking completely dominant, just pretty much taking over anybody and everybody he steps in the ring with. So this is a legit challenge for Moxley. I like what they're doing here. I think going ahead and putting Brody Lee in this position is smart because he's coming in as a big deal. And you know, Moxley had the little feud with Hager. They had their open or their empty arena match that Moxley won, kind of closed the book on that. So they need somebody to step up and be, you know, a big menacing figure for Moxley to face. And they're really none bigger right now and none more menacing than the Exalted One, besides maybe Lance Archer. But Archer's got his stuff going on with Cody in the TND Championship Tournament. So I think this is a good call. I like this a lot, and I think this is going to be a fun feud. I like how they did the little throwback of back in the day between the Shield and the Wyatt family. So that was really cool. And this is going to be fun. This is going to be a fun feud, a fun buildup. It's going to be a lot of Moxley getting laid out, I think, because he's just going to be so outnumbered that they're going to play it off that he really like doesn't have a chance. And in my opinion, he'll find a way to get it done one way or another. But, you know, throwing the Exalted One in there right now, top of the title picture, I like it. And I'm starting to grow on it a little bit. I know I've been very boisterous about the Brody Lee character, but he's kind of gotten away from the whole Vince McMahon backstage type of stuff. It's been more of lead by example out in the ring, which is what I've been saying for a few weeks that I really wanted to see. And so I like that they're going that direction, and I hope they keep it that way. Let him be physical. Let him lead with an iron fist, and that's the best way to do this. And it's really going to get him over, especially when the crowd starts showing up and, you know, the Dark Order really starts taking off. So this is really well done. It was great. I like the feud, and we've got a couple more weeks to build it. It looks like we have our main event for Double or Nothing. It's going to be Jon Moxley taking on the Exalted One, Brody Lee. Next up, we get a video package from Brandi Rhodes, giving a response, I guess you can say, to the things that Jake Roberts has said over the last couple of weeks. And she made some references about in the past about some of the things that Jake has done. And she's making references about Miss Elizabeth and Macho Man without actually using their names. And she talked about how, you know, she sees their plan, how they're going to come out and they're going to corner her, make her the damsel in distress. And then her big hero, her husband's going to come save her. But that's going to set the trap for what they're going to do to Cody. But she says that she's too smart for that. It's 2020 now. It's not 1991 anymore. And she knows exactly what their plan is going to be. And unlike other people, if Jake slaps her in the face, she's going to hit him back. And she said that she's not afraid of Jake. And Jake's going to realize that she's Brandi Rhodes. She's the CEO, COO, or the chief brand officer, I'm sorry, of All Elite Wrestling. And he pretty much saying that he will respect her. And then it kind of fades away from there. But this is a really good promo by Brandi. Brandy's a good talker, and she's came a long way. Like I'm very, very impressed with her. I know, you know, some people kind of hate on her in-ring stuff, how she's, you know, not the greatest in-ring performer, which, you know, you can kind of say that there's some things she's good at. But when it comes to being a character and being a talker, she's really good. And there's some things that she does really well, and this was definitely one of them. So I definitely recommend this promo a lot. This is some of Brandi's best work, in my opinion. So you guys make sure to go back and check this out if you guys haven't yet. Back in the arena, we get the entrance of QT Marshall, who comes to the ring with Brandi Rhodes, with Brandi Rhodes in tow, and he's going against the undefeated Murder Hawk, Lance Archer, who's brought to the ring by Jake the Snake Roberts. So really good to see Jake back in AEW again. And you know, this was a good match. It was it was really a showcase for Lance Archer, as you would kind of expect. We saw it from Cody earlier. You know, Cody got the win over Joey Janela. That was a more back and forth match. This one was more one-sided. QT did have a couple of moments of shining that he, you know, hit a big suplex on Archer, tried a top rope move and missed, and Archer kind of took over from there, hit the blackout, got the victory. So Lance Archer keeps his momentum going, heading towards Double or Nothing in his TNT Championship title match against Cody. But the big story of this match is after the match, Brandi gets attacked from behind by Britt Baker. Earlier in the match, Britt had tried or did hit, I missed it, QT Marshall with her shoe. Brandi grabbed her shoe and threw it like across the arena pretty much. And this was Britt's retaliation. Britt attacks Brandi from behind, hits a DDT on her on the floor, and rolls her into the ring where Lance Archer is waiting there. Lance kind of starts laughing and grabs Brandi's legs and drags her to the middle, and Jake shows back up with a snake, which, you know, as you guys know, that's kind of Jake Roberts' calling card back in the day, is that he would throw his snake on top of his opponents, and this is definitely a callback to this 30, 35 years later for sure. And he throws a snake on Brandi, and the snake, you know, just a symbol of disrespect. And the announcers played it off really well, that it was a disgusting show by Jake, and that, you know, Cody's going to be very angry when he sees this. And they did a good job explaining why Cody didn't come out to save her, because they were talking about how the lockers are so far away that they got to take a golf cart over to the to the stage, and you know, Cody's dealing with other things right now, so. They did a good job explaining why Cody wasn't there to save his wife, to keep her out of harm's way. But this was really good. It's starting to make it very, very personal. This is the first step towards it, which it's been personal for a while between Archer and Cody, but nothing really direct. You know, Jake would take a couple of shots at Brandi, you know, say a couple of things, called her Monica once, talking about Monica to Bill Clinton, but nothing like physical. And now, With Jake putting the snake on top of her and stuff like that, now we can really start digging into this feud. It's going to start getting really good. And we're still having 3 weeks or so to build up to Double or Nothing. This is going to be one of the better feuds heading into the pay-per-view. I really think so. It's going to be very personal. It's going to be a great match. You know, I mentioned earlier that Moxley versus Brody Lee is going to be the main event, and I'm not 100% sure about that. I'm back and forth about it. I'll probably have a more clear sight and, you know, more of a clear answer of what they're going to do once it gets closer to the show. But as of right now, you know, the TNT Championship's been the more highlighted title. It's been kind of a bigger deal. So it wouldn't surprise me if the main event is actually Cody versus Lance Archer for the TNT Championship, with it being, you know, the inaugural crowning of the champion and all. So I'll know more, and I'll I'll have a clearer picture getting closer to Double or Nothing. But you know, that's gonna be the two big main events. And you know, I mentioned something either last week or the week before, how I want to see eventually a face-off between Lance Archer and Brody Lee, which they're both heels, you know, of course. But by the time Double or Nothing's over, Brody Lee could be the AEW champion and Lance Archer could be the TNT champion. And that's pretty scary, knowing that these two dominant guys could be holding the two major male titles in AEW, singles titles in AEW. So it's good. It's good booking. I like the way it's going, and things are going the right direction. You know, with the pandemic going on, it's been really hard to kind of make storylines and keep them going. But now everybody's kind of coming back and things are starting to get back to normal. You can really start focusing on storylines and start the build to Double or Nothing. So this is a good first step. I really like this. And Cody and Lance Archer is going to be awesome when that match happens. It is main event time. We have the team of Kenny Omega and Broken Matt Hardy taking on the Sex Gods, Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara of the Inner Circle. And wow, this might be one of the craziest and best street fights I've seen in a long time. If you're looking for anything in a street fight, then this is right up your alley, guys. This match had a little bit of everything in it. It started in the ring. A ladder got involved. Tables got involved. You know, the Matt Hardy special. But one thing that was really interesting in this is Jericho and Matt Hardy started fighting up the ramp onto the stage, and Jericho threw Matt Hardy into one of the entrance tubes and then came back to the ring, and it was a two-on-one fight with Jericho and Guevara teaming up on Kenny Omega. About 2 or 3 minutes later, Matt Hardy comes back out, but instead of being dressed as Broken Matt, he was dressed as original Matt Hardy. His Hardy Boy looks back in the WWE days. And he ends up hitting a splash from the top of the ladder onto Sammy Guevara through a table. Gets a close two count as Jake Hager pulled the ref out of the ring to stop the count. They go to commercial. When they come back, they're actually fighting in the back, down one of the hallways. And this is where everything kind of took a weird turn. These guys were just battling, grabbing stuff, hitting each other with everything. There was baseball bats involved. At one time, Kenny Omega grabbed a wet floor sign and just shattered it over the back of Chris Jericho. It was a pretty crazy spot, but there was a spot where Jericho and Hager teamed up on Matt Hardy and threw him inside an ice machine, closed the doors, and then again it kind of became a numbers game where they took on Kenny Omega. And a few minutes later, Matt Hardy comes out of the ice machine and he's dressed as Damascus, his new persona that his new entity, I should say. He would be upset with me if I said it. Yes, his new entity, Damascus. And he gets in a golf cart and starts chasing down Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara. He kind of nicks Jericho as he drives by, but he takes off after Sammy Guevara, and he's got Kenny Omega in tow with him, and Sammy Guevara takes this nasty bump off of the side of this golf cart, where it looked like Sammy's head like smashed right into the front of this golf cart on the windshield. It was a pretty scary spot, but the baby faces took over from there, and Kenny ended up Kenny and Matt end up setting up Sammy Guevara on this table, and Kenny gets lifted up in a cherry picker. Well, as he's about to jump off of it onto Guevara through a table, Hager shows up. Hager and Jericho show back up and are able to fight Matt Hardy off. And as this is going on, Kenny hits an insane moonsault off the top of this cherry picker onto all three guys. It was an amazing spot. The moonsault was perfect. It landed perfect. You know, textbook form, one of the best moonsaults I've ever seen. It was very, very impressive. But eventually the number game became too much for Hardy and Omega when Santana and Ortiz showed up and ended up, you know, changing the odds in this match. They end up doing the big super power bomb to Matt Hardy through the original table that Guevara was on, kind of the same way they did with Jon Moxley a couple of months ago. And then Jericho hits a power bomb on Kenny Omega on top of the golf cart, and they drag Kenny away. Jericho hits the Judas effect and gets the pin for the victory. So the Inner Circle end up winning this crazy, amazing street fight. And the last visual of the show is all five members of the Inner Circle standing in front of the football stadium where the Jacksonville Jaguars play. And the big screen behind them pops up the words, "The Inner Circle." And it was a really, really cool visual, a really cool way to end the show. And, you know, that's Dynamite for this week. But if you guys want to watch a crazy, just fun street fight, make sure you guys go check this match out. It was great. It really, really had me hooked, really had me intrigued from beginning to end. It was nonstop. Matt Hardy changing personas mid-match was hilarious. It was very, very well done. And yeah, I can't recommend this match anymore. It was great. It was a very, very fun main event. You know, we've had some serious main events. You know, the Archer and Dustin match last week was very serious, with Archer getting the win and having the beatdown of Dustin. Dustin busted open, stuff like that. This was, I mean, it was a street fight, but it was more, it was fun. It was very Broken Matt Hardy-ish. If you guys know what I'm talking about, you guys will know. But this was fun. This was a very fun match. It was out there. They had a little bit of everything, but it was entertaining. That's the main thing. It was very entertaining from start to finish. So well done to AEW. Well done to everybody that, you know, showed up and participated in the entire show. I know things are still a little crazy, but it was good to see some new faces come back, some faces we haven't seen in a while. And we got some continuation of some storylines and some new storylines as well. So I like the direction that they're heading into Double or Nothing in a couple of weeks. Real quick, before we get going, they did make a couple of announcements for next week. As I mentioned earlier, MJF will be in action, and Chris Jericho will also be in action, and Chris Jericho will be taking on Shug D, who he's been calling Pineapple Pete for the last month or so. And they had a little altercation before the main event started where Pineapple Pete slapped Jericho in the face. So they have a little bit of beef going. So those two will be facing each other next week. And we're also going to be getting a four-way women's match pitting Hikaru Shida versus Chris Statlander versus Britt Baker versus Penelope Ford. This is pretty much going to determine who the number one contender for the women's championship is. I thought it was going to be Shida. I do expect Shida to win this match. They didn't say it was a number one contenders match, but I think Excalibur said something like this will, you know, dictate who's in the driver's seat for a title shot. So, you know, pretty much a number one contenders match. But also, another big thing that came out of the announcement is there's going to be a new match at Double or Nothing. Last year they had the Casino Battle Royal, and this year's going to be the Casino Ladder Match. And whoever wins the ladder match will get an AEW World Title match. So very similar to the Money in the Bank concept that you guys see in WWE. But, you know, it's just going to be, I guess it's pretty much the same thing. I don't think it's going to be one of those that it can be cashed in at any time, but I think it's going to be more of you get to set up a match. And so this is going to be a good way to elevate a new talent, somebody that maybe you wouldn't see in a title opportunity. I would love to see somebody like a Scorpio Sky win this, because he had that shot against Jericho a couple of months ago. But they've been highlighting him with video packages. I feel like they're kind of getting ready for to give him this big singles push. And I think this Casino ladder match would be a great way for him to do that and to utilize his high flying ability and his athleticism. I mean, it's perfect for a match with this type of environment. So early pick, I'll go Scorpio Sky for this one. But we don't know who's in it yet. And JR did say next week they will give all the details on that match, who all is going to be in it, what the concept of it is going to be. I figured they're going to tweak it somehow so it's different from Money in the Bank. But I figure it's going to be kind of the same concept, pretty close. So it'll be a really fun match, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, guys, that's going to be it for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. It was a lot of fun to do, as always. Again, guys, make sure you subscribe to the WWE podcast on all of your podcasting platforms. Make sure you leave us a 5-star review also on Apple Podcasts. Let us know how much you enjoy the shows, all the content, you know, that that the podcast released throughout the week. And I hope you guys are staying safe. That's the most important thing right now. If you guys are getting back out in the world with some things starting to open, make sure you guys still take your precautions and be extra careful. You know, this thing has not completely gone away yet. So, you know, just look out for each other. Look out for yourselves. Be safe. And I will see you guys next week for the next edition of the All Elite Podcast. Take care, guys.